97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen. Scott Gerard.
Glad you guys got the memo on it.
Yeah. Going with the home darks today.
Scott, Lloyd, and myself, we've got our zone uniforms on. All three of us wore the same zone outfit for the day. Jeans and our black pullover.
Give us a nice little pullover. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it is. It's nice.
Put it to good use.
It's getting a little chillier outside.
Yeah.
It's nice to throw on something a little warmer.
A little hoodie weather never hurts at all.
You know, new gear never hurts at all either. And, you know, with the merger, I thought maybe we should start talking to people.
I think that I've heard.
Is it?
I've heard the iron's already in the fire on that.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that because I like good gear. Good new gear with logos on it that I can wear proudly.
Yes. You want like, because I mean, a lot of times you get just the, you know, your standard, you know, polo shirts, golf shirts. You want something. I like the pullovers, man. Let's get some gear for all occasions.
I agree. I know that we're waiting for Kalani. And I'm sure he'll be up here momentarily. Lloyd will keep us checked in on that. But we haven't had as much opportunity to talk about this Utah-USC game as we would have liked it had.
Yeah. We're going to go real heavy on that coming up at 105.
But they are at that memorial for Aaron Lowe in Texas. And Kyle Whittingham will be unavailable today.
I think they're moving his press conference to tomorrow, correct? So I apologize. We kind of screwed up on that.
It'll be tomorrow, and that's fine because, you know, they're out there celebrating their teammate. And I do think that this is the next step for advancing into, you know, all the remorse and the pain and everything that the team's going through. I think it's just another step for them to take. You had the arrest of Mbuk, the suspect, and you put together that with the memorial, getting to celebrate your teammate, and now maybe you can start to move forward a little bit, not forget, but move forward with it in your mind. And the way they played against USC, if you play like that up front, the biggest change, so everybody knows, the biggest change from the games that they lost to this game was up front. It was the biggest change. Visibly obvious that they were locking down USC's defensive front. And obviously the defensive line was doing their thing. Mika Tafua was fantastic, and the Utah defense and its front looked good. But the biggest difference was Nick Ford, Braden Daniels. Bama Osini came in about 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Jaron Kump went down with an injured ankle. And I thought that Bam came in and did a fantastic job. Laumea at the other guard position. Those five put together a pretty darn good show. And that's what made the difference. And Tavian Thomas is a better blocking back.
Oh, yeah.
And that made a difference.
With the size that he brings to the table. And by the way, how much fun was it on that touchdown run to see him keep that ball so high and tight?
I know.
There's no way anybody was going to punch that thing up.
It was really good to see. He's learned so much, but Mika Tafua had some big sacks, man. It's nice to see Mika come around to what you need him to be. He's got to be that. He has to be in that gear the rest of the season. He has to be the disruptor. And they've had it for so many years, going back to Paul Kruger and then to Hunter Dimmick. And then to Trevor Riley. And then to, you know,
Orchard.
Nate Orchard. You can go down the line. There's always been a disruptor. And Mika Tafua has to be that in order for this defense to do what this defense is built to do. You've got to get that out of him. And I've got to start to see more from these freshmen that we've talked a lot about, that I've talked a lot about. Xavier Carlton, Van Fillinger. Xavier had a couple of really big plays, but I'd like to see both those guys continue to be more of a disruptor. But it was such a good game. And, you know, outside of Jaron Kump and Nephi Sewell, it felt like they stayed healthy through that game. And it felt like Cam Rising can be the quarterback when he's clean, when he's upright, when he's not being pushed down into the dirt. It feels like he can be the quarterback.
Certainly needs to be. And I thought he was dealing against USC.
When he was clean.
When he was clean, extremely accurate, made great reads, balls out on time. I mean, there was so many things that he did well in that game that you can't help but not get a little fired up, and that's the reason why this guy won the job a year ago, and frankly, I think is probably your best bet going forward, too. Maybe Charlie Brewer moving on and knowing Cam's the guy and not having to look over his shoulder because there's really nobody else there to push him right now, so he doesn't have to worry about dealing with who else is out there, who's going to create him problems. He's right there. All right, let's shift gears. Let's talk some BYU football. Kalani Sitake set to address the media for his weekly press conference right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Okay. Excited about the new week. Looking forward to the matchup with Baylor. A lot of connections with our staff and their staff, obviously, recently losing Jeff Grimes and Eric Mateos to Baylor. Excited to see them. They're guys that we still care about and love. Want to see them have success, except for this week. But been fun to watch them and the program have the success that they're having right now. And I respect Dave Aranda a lot. I've known him throughout my coaching career, seen him and been involved with talking ball with him. And we've been able to share a lot of ideas and philosophies and in coaching. And excited to see him as head coach, and excited to see the matchup that we have with an opponent that we're going into this conference. And so I'm looking forward to being out in Waco and seeing their fan base and having a lot of fun. Obviously, we're coming off of a loss over the weekend, and there's some things that we're looking to improve and get better. And the loss stings enough that if we don't learn from it, it's going to be even worse. So trying to learn from some of the mistakes and get better, and love what our players' energy and the effort that they show us, and just got to keep things focused and try to minimize the mistakes and give us a better position to have wins. And last week was disappointing, but I'm going to learn from it and get better from it. So any questions you guys may have?
Okay, we'll start with Jared Lloyd and then Mitch Harper.
Bonnie, you just touched on this, but I was curious, in watching the film and going over the last week's game, what did you feel like you needed to improve on? Was it mental mistakes? Was it technique? What needs to happen to keep that from happening?
I think a lot of it. I mean, everywhere, so there's a not to take anything away from Boise State, but we didn't help ourselves much either. So I think the most visible ones are the turnovers. But if you're looking at assignments and technique and the fundamentals, the breakdown in that, I mean, that's something that I need to correct as head coach. And, I thought we've done a pretty good job at most of it. Had some issues with technique, and we'll get those fixed. We just need to get our guys back on track, and it's humbling, and it's a good opportunity for us to focus a little bit more. And this is good for us to focus completely on this week and get ready for Baylor. That's going to be the key, learning from the mistakes and making sure that that stuff doesn't happen again.
The other thing I was curious about, A-Rod mentioned it during the Coordinator's Corner show, but the challenge of facing Grimey, because he knows so well what the offense does and what type of play calls you might run and things like that. Talk about dealing with that particular challenge of facing Grimey and Eric again.
Well, I think the most important thing is for us to focus on the situation, the issues and mistakes that we made as a team and as position groups and as individual players. That's going to be the first focus, is for us to learn from it. The second thing is scout our opponents and know what we see on film. And I've been really impressed with the things I'm seeing from what Grimey's done there. I mean, Grimey's a good coach. And we've been very fortunate to have him here for 3 years, and to have Mateos here for a couple of years as well. So they're going to be great coaches. They're just like they're doing already. They have an impact on their team already in their program, just like they did here. And so I think we're just familiar with each other. They know our personnel. They know our our scheme. And but that's college football. That happens, and we're just got to prepare. But I'm really more focused on what we need to do as a team. Focus on our issues first, and then we know that there's some. You know, we know that they know a little bit about our program and our personnel, but that's all right. That doesn't really mean anything if we don't fix the problems that happened from last Saturday.
Alani, Caleb Christensen isn't listed on the depth chart. Is his injury season ending?
No, it's not season ending. It's just a little bit longer to come back from. And so if we know that they're out for the week, then they won't be listed that week. So we know he won't be ready for this week's game. And so we're hoping to get him back. I'm hoping next week, but more likely in a couple weeks. So I don't know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but that I would like to have him back yesterday, but you know, we're working with it and trying to get healthy. And I think more than likely probably in a couple weeks would be the right timing for him.
And one of Baylor's top defensive players is Siaki Ika. I remember you and your staff were the first program to offer him back in 2016 when he was a young kid. What did you see in him back then and maybe the relationships that you've had with him and his family over the years?
Yeah, great family, a great young man. We've known him for a long time. I've known his family forever, you know, since I was little. So, and you know, he went to LSU and did some really good things there, won a championship with them and looked to transfer. And I think he really connected with Dave Aranda, who was a DC there. And so I think he's doing some really good things on film. He's disruptive. He's big. He's physical and he can run. And he's a fun kid, man. He's a great young man to be around. And then I know he's a big part of the success they're having on defense. He's a big part of it because it's hard to block him. So he's a disruptor at the line of scrimmage and has a great attitude and a great personality. I think he's fitting right perfectly with the rest of the players at Baylor.
We'll next take questions from Caleb and then Steven with AP and then Jay Drew.
Hey coach, you know, you mentioned that this game against Baylor is kind of a preview of what you're getting into with the Big 12. What have you kind of noticed from film or just interacting with Baylor and other Big 12 schools, particularly in Texas, like what makes them unique? Maybe what's a little bit different about going in there?
Well, I think, I don't know. If you're looking at the entire conference, their offense, their offenses have a lot of success, you know. But I think if you look at what Baylor's doing, they're playing a really good defense as well. So they make things really difficult for an offense to have success and to make big plays. And then offensively, they're really efficient. Quarterback takes care of the football, hasn't thrown an interception all year. And then they have a good group of running backs and some great skill players at receiver. And then I know their old line's being coached well because Grimey and Mattel are there. So I know that they're going to do their part. And it's a tough team. It's a tough matchup. We're going on the road and going to be in Waco. We're excited for the venue to be there. I think our guys are going to embrace it and have fun with it. A little bit of weather change too. So, you know, just looking forward to getting into Texas and playing some football there. And it's just nice to be in a different region of the country and, looking forward to the matchup, but tons of respect for that team and that program and that university, and really looking forward to our partnership with the Big 12 in the future, and glad that we get to have an earlier version of it this week.
Coach Caleb asked a little bit about what I was going to ask you. I'm calling from Texas. I mean, this is an unusual mid-October non-conference game for Baylor, and it took on a little more, obviously, with your teams coming into the Big 12. Is there anything about maybe a first impression you guys want to make for people in Texas in the Big 12 that or may not see BYU play a whole lot, even though you are on a national stage?
I don't know if I'm really worried about trying to make an impression. I'm just trying to make sure our guys are playing fundamentally sound football. You know, we're a much better team when we can limit our mistakes and not shoot ourselves in the foot, as some people say it. But we're going to come in there. We're excited to play the game. We're really looking forward to the matchup. And, you know, I think we bring a unique brand of football. But you know, we're going to have a lot of fun playing with sportsmanship in class and embracing the opportunity to be in there in front of that fan base. And We have a lot of friends that are on the, that coaching staff. So it's going to be fun day. And I think for our guys, they're looking forward to the change in scenery a little bit. And we're going to have some fun with it, man. I know there'll be some different foods to try out too. So I'm always about that. So our guys are going to embrace every opportunity we can of being out in Texas and being in that culture that Waco provides.
Well, there's some good food places in Waco. I found quite a few of them myself over the years. And I'll just ask this. I mean, this is always a good game. You're going to have good games on the schedule. Did this game take on a little more, though, because of the personal connections and the Big 12? Or do you just kind of have to look at it as this is our next game, we're trying to come off a loss and get back on track?
Professionally, you want to look at it as the next game. I mean, honestly, that's what you want to do. You want to just move on and then just play the game and treat it as such. But hard to do when you love the individuals that are there, that you became really close friends and brothers with. For us, with Jeff Grimes, with Eric Mateos, we became really close. So I care about them, and I know our coaches and our players do. And so it's going to be different that way, but we want to win, you know. So I know they do too. We're very competitive, but it's going to be a lot of fun to go against people that you really care about. And it's been fun watching them having their success this season. We knew this was on the schedule, and more than anything, just looking to having a really good time and being able to share that field with that coaching staff, the fan base, and being out there and future partner in Baylor in the Big 12 conference. So just more than anything, just really excited about the opportunity to play this game.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Lonnie, at the halfway point of the season, season's half over, unbelievably. But what is your level of satisfaction with your program and with your team? I know it's hard maybe coming off a loss to keep in mind the whole big picture of things. But what's your level of satisfaction with where the program's at right now?
I'm really pleased with the talent that we have on our team and the development of our players. We've been really tested with our depth because of injury. It happens this season. It's more than we wanted to be comfortable with, but we knew this was a possibility. And so I'm really from that point of view, Jay, I'm happy with the way our guys are performing, how they prepare. Coming off a loss is always difficult, but there's an opportunity for us to learn and get better. And what you don't want to do is have a win when you win a game affect how you prepare the next week. I think, you guys in the media like to talk about that as the letdown or trap game, things like that. And so I thought we've been able to take advantage of winning games, but trying to learn and get better and improve the next week. And now when you lose games, we want to make sure that doesn't carry over into this feeling of feeling sorry for ourselves and things like that. We've got to move on. And the best way to move on is to get to work. And so our approach after we win games is to get to work, and our approach after we lose games is to get to work. But I'm really proud of the way our guys come to work every day and their mindset, and looking forward to improving from last week. There's a lot of places that we can definitely learn and get better from. And with the way these guys have been all season, I'm really anxious and excited to see how they're going to approach this week, and I have a really good feeling about it.
Okay, let's go Jake Hatch, and then we have time for one more question after that with Mitch Harper.
Kalani, obviously last week did not go as you guys planned. Do you consider a little bit of a wake-up call to your guys? Hey, you guys know how you need to play to win games?
Yeah, I think that happens naturally, I think humility is a good thing. It's the best teacher. And that's for all of us. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can learn from. I can too as a head coach. And so none of us are immune from mistakes. So some of them happen, and then it's really just a matter of how you respond to it. And so, things have been going really smoothly for us, and we were able to win the first five games. Even with some situation issues and mistakes, we just made too many against a really good team that were driven to beat us. And You know, and we because our players' effort and fight gave us a chance towards the end, even with all the mistakes that we made, a chance to still try to get that win. Let's just not put ourselves in that position again. And sometimes the hardest, the best teacher is experience, and you never want to lose. But when we do and we fail, I'm going to make sure that as a coach and as a program that we learn from it and make sure that we can maximize our opportunities to get better.
Just a quick thought from you on how you thought Jaron performed having rewatched the film from the Boise State game.
Yeah, I thought he made some good decisions. I mean, that last throw, I think he was just trying to create too much. And, you know, I looking at it, he protected the ball all up until that one moment, and I still believe in him. I know that you know, we'll kind of have to see how it works again and how, what our game plan will be this week. But you know, he's a really good player. I don't know if he would say that was his best game, but you know, I think the mistakes didn't help from so many different places, and I think the most visible ones go right to the turnovers and the short fields. But you know, defensively, I think we expect our defense to on a sudden change to play better defense than what we did. And I think the two fumbles in the red zone there, short field, turned into touchdowns, which, you know, we'd like to hold in the field goals if we could. And then the short field of going on the fourth down turning to a field goal. So 17 points off of short fields. And I think our defense is better than that. So it's a team game. We know that we can play complementary football with all three phases. We made a mistake in all three phases, and that falls on me as a coach to make sure that we play better, practice better, and prepare better. And but I can't fault the players for their effort and their energy. I need to do a better job and make sure that we put them in a spot to have more success with all three phases.
And Kalani, after a game where ball security was an issue, does that become even a bigger focus this week in practice for how you guys prepare?
Yeah, it's something that we preach over and over and over and over again. So I don't know that we can emphasize it more than what we've been emphasizing it. It's something that we talk about consistently. I mean, you can't go a day here, a practice, or even 5 minutes without hearing about it. And we criticize even our defensive players when they get the ball in their hands about ball security. It's something that we really, really, it's part of our identity. We really focus on. Mistakes happen. They do. And I think, you know, looking at what happened with those fumbles, I still believe in those guys. It's kind of like an exception, but those hurt. And that's something that we need to keep emphasizing. But I don't know if we need to do anything special for those guys to get better. They've taken care of the football for most of their careers. And so, you know, let's just learn from it and make sure we do it better. And I've said it before, you can never, ever tell me, you'll never hear me say there's too much ball security. And I'd like to have our players make it hard for me to say that, because you'll just never hear me say a few things as a football coach that too much effort and too much ball security. So,
and when you see Baylor offensively on film, maybe what similarities are you seeing from them that remind you of the offenses you guys fielded when Grimes was here?
Yeah, a lot of similarities. I mean, it's we know a lot of the stuff that they're doing, and Grimes doing a great job as far as their execution. I mean, the fact that their quarterback hasn't thrown an interception all season long is a good sign that they're taking care of the football and doing it the right way. They're physical up front. Very, very similar. We were familiar with what they're doing offensively, their identity offensively, and it's going to be a good matchup for us. And, you know, we're just looking forward to that game.
Okay, Coach, thanks for your time today.
There you go. That is Kalani Sitake addressing the media. Bunch of different topics. Learned a lot about Caleb Christensen.
Yeah, and we learned the nickname of a Baylor coach, so that's good.
I don't know if we've had some interactions with Jeff Grimes. I don't know if I'd call him Grimey, though.
I'd rather just call him Coach.
Yeah.
You know, and I've played a lot of years. And I know him well.
Yeah.
But let's call him Coach. Or Coach Grimes.
I always feel uncomfortable calling a coach by his first name. It's like the other day, I think I accidentally called Jay Hill Jay instead of coach. If it's always a coach, I will always say, 99% of the time, I always say, hey, you know, Blake Anderson joins us here on the show. Blake, how are you? Jeez, there it is. I go, coach, how are you?
Yeah.
I very rarely will I ever say the first name because I always feel uncomfortable. I feel like they've earned the title. I call them that.
Doesn't matter if it's an assistant. Doesn't matter if it's a women's volleyball coach. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Earn that title?
Yeah.
Call you coach.
I saw my junior high coach for the first time in.
By the way, that's a dude I want to hang out with.
Yeah. Mr. Benzie. He's an all-time great legend. And I saw him over the weekend. Guess what I called him? Coach.
Yo, Benzie!
By the way, if you and Lloyd ever went back to Weezer with me, you guys would just crack up because nobody in Weezer calls me Hans.
What do they call you?
Hansi.
Hansi?
Hansi.
And you don't want to punch him in the face?
No. It is the only place
where people can get away with that.
Where it's endearing.
Like, okay.
I see him. They give me big hugs. It's Hansi. All my teammates, all my coaches, and I just, every time I'm there, I'm thinking, man, if Scott and Lloyd were here, they would be uncomfortable, but it's not uncomfortable here, but it's uncomfortable everywhere else. It made my wife really uncomfortable first time she went back to Weezer.
She knows how violent you get when people call you Hans.
Yeah. And everybody's, Hansi! And she's like, what are they saying? Do they not know you? Like, yeah, growing up, instead of calling me Oli or, you know, there's all kinds of, it was Hansi. But.
Yeah. Tatanka.
But guess what? If I was an offensive coordinator for Baylor, guess what I would expect you to call me?
Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Yeah. All right. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Coming up at 105, we'll get and I apologize, I mentioned this earlier in the show, but because the Ute football team is traveling to Texas for Aaron Lowe's funeral, no press conference today. Normally we do that at 105. You will hear that coming up on tomorrow's show, though. They'll come back and they'll have the press conference for Kyle Whittingham, and a lot to break down, but you and I will get knee-deep in that Utah game coming up today at 1:05. Andrew Reinhart's kind enough to join us right here on the Zone Sports Network. And Andrew, when you're talking about that area, no needles, no surgery, no little blue pills, this is a way to treat problems with ED and treat the actual problem itself, not just put a Band-Aid.
That's exactly right. If you're out there struggling with ED, for the last 30 years, it has been the pill, treating the symptoms. And comes with a lot of downsides. And we have what I call a major medical advancement. It's called acoustic wave. It emits pressure waves over about 10 minutes. Those pressure waves repair and open up blood vessels. That leads to better circulation, which is exactly what a guy needs if he's struggling with erectile dysfunction. We've helped so many men turn back the clock in the bedroom and really restore that normal intimacy that we all want.
And to help guys, if you're out there and you punched in the number 801-901-8000, but you haven't hit send yet, well, Andrew's got some more incentives for you.
Yes, today is the day. A lot of value. If you're ready to treat the root cause problem of the ED and regain your love life, call us now. The doctor assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound. No charge. The gift, very popular, by the way, produces immediate results in the bedroom. And if you're like so many, a little low in the tank, blood work and testosterone is free today as well.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now. 801-901-8000. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. And The Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
It's a trip to the Lone Star State for the Cougars as BYU heads to Waco for a massive showdown against Baylor as the Cougars look to knock off a future Big 12 opponent. Catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 12:30 with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard.
You live and you learn, buddy.
Yeah.
We all do.
We're all on this path together. Mm-hmm. Just walking each other home.
And we're better together.
Yeah. All right. Time to get to Sports Roulette, take some of the big storylines we've not had a chance to get to, put it on a nice little roulette wheel and spin it wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. Lloyd, fired up.
Penalty handed down.
Well, we go back 1 month ago, nearly a month ago today. Mark Few was hit with a DUI, Scotty. It was September 6th. And he was stopped by cops in Idaho. It was about 30 miles away from the campus. And if you remember, he blew a .120 and refused to go through with a field sobriety test. And obviously, he was cited with a DUI at that point. And it was unbelievable to everybody. It caught me off guard.
Wouldn't have anticipated that.
Not a chance. Well, the penalty has been handed down. He will now miss their Midnight Madness festivities, which is the first time teams can officially practice.
I bet that breaks his heart.
Yeah. He will miss two exhibition games. He's going to miss the regular season opener on November 9th against Dixie State. So maybe Dixie State gets him with that.
Hey. Dixie State over there licking their chops and like, this is the break.
They'll be directionless.
This is the break we needed.
They'll have no idea what's coming. It's expected that Mark Few will be on the bench by the time they play their second game, which is against Texas. So he's missing Dixie State. He will be back against Texas.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know. It's Texas.
If those games were flip-flopped, I'd think that would be a little different.
Yeah, I think it would be much different. I have not. There have not preseason rankings out yet, right?
I've not seen any.
I don't think that there are preseason rankings. I do believe, however, that Gonzaga will be ranked number one preseason.
Sure seems that way.
At least that's kind of how I feel.
It'll be another year where they'll rack up a ton of regular season games and then have a disappointing loss somewhere in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. But what I'd like to say to Mark Few and to Gonzaga, I'm glad to see people get another chance. I am. And
yeah.
This is his first defense. It seems like he's been very clean throughout. I mean, typically when you're caught driving drunk, from what I understand, it's not your first time actually driving drunk. And I hope that he doesn't do it again. Look, Scotty, you and I have both learned through our lives, through trial and error, through having to go through it instead of learning from other people's mistakes. But what you and I try to do is learn and change. And hopefully Mark Few does that. And I'm glad he's getting a second chance. I don't think he deserves to be fired. I don't know if the suspension's hefty enough. I don't know if the penalty's hefty enough to make him think twice about it, but I'm sure he was embarrassed. I know he's been put through the public ringer. And I, like everybody else out there, would appreciate a second chance. And I'm sure he will appreciate the second chance. And I think Mark Few is going to do the best with it.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yep. All right. Lloyd, spin that wheel.
Another penalty handed down.
All right, so Texas A&M gets the big win against Alabama, and as you would expect, the fans and students rush the field. Well, the SEC is not big fans of this, and Texas A&M has already been hit with a $50,000 fine when they did it in 2018, and apparently, though, that doesn't reset from season to season. Texas A&M has now been fined $100,000 by the SEC. For the fans rushing the field after their win against Alabama.
A little six-figure payout.
$100,000 for a night like that, to have that kind of celebration and all the pictures and moments where they'll have that overhead shot of the fans rushing the field, I think Texas A&M will be just fine. I don't think they're bothered one iota about that.
They would take this and run if they knew that they were going to get a win in that game. And how nice was it to see Alabama lose?
Oh, yeah.
Yes! Lose again. And again. And have Georgia lose and have the SEC just feast off of each other because they just want to be their own little conference and their own little world and let them beat each other up. We always say, well, the Pac-12 has 9 conference games and they beat each other up. It's like, well, yeah, but SEC still plays 8 times against their own opponents, or their own conference opponents. They're an 8-game schedule, right? The SEC?
Yeah, SEC's 8.
So it's 8. Let them feast on each other. Do you like that there's a penalty for fans rushing the field? That seems a little excessive.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep safety a thing, but it seems a little excessive.
I think it'd be a little weird. Like, if you're Nick Saban and you're walking out on the field after you've just been upset and you've got crazy, drunken idiots running out on the field, I'm not a fan of that.
No. You better have it corridored off. And the coaches need to have an understanding. If we do lose this, everybody's head is down and you're to the locker room. That was always my job. Like, I'm not going to stick on a field that I just lost on. I'm not doing it. If it's not my field, I'm out.
Yeah.
As quick as I can. I'm embarrassed, ashamed. My head's down.
I don't want to shake anybody's hand.
No.
I know Nick Saban has to, but after that, bam, I'm out of there.
I just had a relative bring up a bit of the past that they were still upset about. Somebody that I love very much came to Florida to watch us play Florida State. And we lost. We ended up losing to Florida State, and it was my senior year. And I was mad. And so I hustled off the field. I got on the bus, got on the plane. I didn't say a word to a teammate. I didn't say a word to anybody. I didn't have a cell phone, so you didn't text back then. I was just to myself until the following morning, and I had family that flew out to Florida and was waiting at the bus to give hugs.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I did. And apparently it's hurt this person for all these years, and they just recently brought it up to me. And I just said, look, I don't want to talk to anybody after a loss, ever. I still don't. If my kids lose something, I'm just straight to the car. I don't want to talk to parents. I don't want to talk to coaches. I don't want to talk to my kid. I don't want to talk to my wife. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to get in my car, and I want to calm down and then think about what I can say that's constructive to my kid.
Let's hope it's constructive.
Oh, I don't do well at all.
But you didn't know that these people were upset about it until...
Honey, come down to Florida.
Pablo?
I can't believe you gave the cold shoulder to your family
members. Are you washing yourself? Oh, yeah. I can't stand losing, Scotty. So just get off the field and let the fans celebrate. But I do get your point. To this day, the video of that idiot in the suspenders.
Oh,
I don't care how you feel about Bronco Mendenhall. And there's all kinds of indifferent feelings. And I think people are confused on how I feel about Bronco. But Bronco should have had the right to throw a right hook right into the jaw of that dude who was up in his face and knock him out.
When Bronco did take a step, that dude was backpedaling.
Oh, yeah. He was done. He was done. He was like, no. I'm done. Don't hear me.
Oh, man. The worst.
You know what? I had another one, but it's a terrible story. So let's just
move on. All right. 105. We'll dig deep into that Utah win. What a win for Utah, knocking off USC. Again, USC not particularly great, and but considering what Utah had been dealing with over the last couple weeks, and going down and winning at the Coliseum, huge win for the University of Utah. We'll talk more about that coming up in about 15 minutes from right now, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Dylan Colley, former BYU wide receiver.
Right now, easy to say Alabama and Georgia are literally in a league of their own. But the rest of that pack, that 128 other teams, BYU is the playoff viable team, and they genuinely believe that. And so to go out there and to know you can put your third string quarterback in and just decide, yeah, we're just going to run all over this team, that is completely game changing. And to be honest with you, I don't see that really changing over the next 5, 6, 7 years because of the momentum going into the recruiting pickup, the Big 12, all these different aspects that now BYU is playing with. It's going to be very hard not to see BYU as a top 25 team for the next 10, 12 years.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Ninety-seven-five, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Coming up here in a few minutes, we'll really break down that Utah game as Utah got the win against USC. Good win. Team right now is in Texas attending Aaron Lowe's funeral. And then we'll hop right back on the plane and get ready for a game coming up this weekend. Another big one. Is a square off against Arizona State.
So, from what I understand, they're live streaming the funeral. And I've been seeing some different footage coming from the Aaron Lowe funeral. And I want, because I'm sure a lot of people don't have the opportunity to watch it or see it, I just wanted to kind of describe some of the things that are happening in Texas right now at Aaron Lowe's funeral. The streets have a lot of fans that are lined that have U of U shirts on. And Scotty, you saw some of this. You know, there's a lot of people that are there welcoming in the team, welcoming in the hearse. And it, you can tell that this is very well attended, that there were a lot of people in that area that really loved him and will embrace this team, and I'm sure that the team will embrace them. I can only imagine how much it means to Aaron Lowe's family and the people that loved him and helped raise him in Texas to have the players and the coaches that were by him every day, to have them there. Like, I know this is good for the team, but think about it from your point of view, Scotty. If that was your kid,
yeah,
and they, the team that your kid was a part of came back to your hometown and you got to see those boys and those coaches that were part of his team, it would mean the world to you. It would mean the absolute world to you that they came back to support the family and the community. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Huge. So I know we look at it from our point of view, or we look at it from a player's point of view, and we're like, oh yeah, this would be very good for them to be able to mourn. This is amazing for the Lowe family that they get the team and the coaches there. And you can hug and cry with them, and because they were the last ones to get to be around him. Not the family, not the community.
Ah, that's a really good point.
It was them,
but
every day.
And also, too, I mean, this is a significant expense for Mark Harlan and this University Athletic Department, University of Utah Athletic Department. I mean, those charter flights, you're looking at
$300,000.
Yeah. A pretty, you know, well over six figures. The buses and everything and meals and
you're
and
close
all that
to
stuff.
$1 million.
It could be, honestly.
Probably $600,000-$700,000.
That's about the range, I would think. And it is something that is, I don't think there was a lot of hesitation by the University of Utah. Say, look, we got to do this. We got to get our kids down there. They need to be able to support this family. I love the fact they did this.
Well, yeah, because let's be honest. Mark Harlan could have said, it's game week.
Yeah, you got a huge, probably the biggest game in the Pac-12 South left on your schedule.
Yep. It's game week. We got to stay focused. They're having this memorial on a Monday. We can't get out there on a Monday. Guys, let's all be realistic. We can't do this. It's game week. We've given you grief counselors. We've done everything we can. It's game week. He could have said that.
Mm-hmm. Very easily could have done that.
And Mark Harlan said, nope, let's get this plane. Let's pay for this. Let's get our kids down there. And I was thinking about how it would affect the kids. once you get outside of yourself a little bit, and sometimes I have to knock myself in the head and stop thinking as a player or thinking selfishly, and I put myself back in the shoes of a parent that has a college athlete, if she was gone and her teammates came, all I would want to do is talk to them and talk to the coaches and say, what was she like? Or get the stories of how she made them laugh or how she impacted their life or, you know, how she fought back with the coach or how she listened to the coach. Or you would just grasp to those stories as family members, as community members. So I think this is more for them than it is the players. Yeah.
By the way, a stream of the funeral services will be up at KSLSports.com's Facebook page. I'm going to tweet out a link to that right now. And so that if you wanted to watch it, I believe it'll start here in about 15, 20 minutes. So if you wanted to see that, it'll be available on the Facebook page of KSLSports.com. All right. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Joining us now, Andrew Reinhart from Wasatch Medical. And Andrew, I love the fact that you incentivize a lot of our listeners because, you know, look, relationship struggles with this, marriages struggle, and to get guys in and get them taken care of and so they can get past some ED issues, you're changing lives out there. There's no doubt.
Yeah, we really are. This has such a huge ripple effect. It's kind of the unspoken problem. Guys suffer in silence with erectile dysfunction. Sometimes they go get a pill. Sometimes they just do nothing. And it doesn't have to be that way. We're talking about a blood flow problem. That's what our technology, the acoustic wave therapy, is backed by 50 clinical studies showing that it repairs those blood vessels, improves circulation. Just think 2 to 3 weeks from now, a few sessions at our clinic in Murray or in St. George. What would your relationship look like if the erectile dysfunction were gone? The need to take the pill, you were getting 30 to 50% more blood flow. That is what we're helping a lot of guys do.
801-901-8000. That's the number to call right now. 801-901-8000. And there's a lot of opportunities. You mentioned the blood work and so many great opportunities for individuals to find out exactly you know, how they can, where they're at, information they need, and you can do a lot of that for free.
It's a lot of free, yes. And by the way, if you're struggling with ED and you just have questions, you can come take the free and do treatments at a later date. There's no obligation, but call us now. The assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound with our MD, no charge. The gift that produces pretty powerful results in the bedroom. You'll be happy. Also, blood work and testosterone, a lot of value here. That is free today as well.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.